Hey friends, James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. And here's a question that I get in from time to time. James, are the full versions of the eye-opener reports available on those USB archives that you sell at NewWorldNextWeek.com? And the answer to that question is yes. Except, and in this case the exception, are those few eye-opener reports that I filed towards the tail end of 2011. All right. What are we talking about here? For people who have not been around the Corbett Report for, say, 15 years or so, you may or may not know that back over a decade ago at this point, I was producing a weekly, sort of a mini documentary for the Boiling Frogs Post website that I called the Eye Opener Report. And it was usually a 10, 15, sometimes 20 minute, as I say, sort of a mini documentary on various subjects. And as you, again, may or may not know, those full reports, at least in 2012 and the tail end of 2011, were being filed at boilingfrogspost.com. I would have a preview video, just a little beginning of that video that I would post to corbettreport.com. And so if you go in the archives and you stumble across one of these preview videos, you might see the preview and then, well, where's the rest of the video? Go to boilingfrogspost.com for the rest of the video. Well, boilingfrogspost.com no longer exists, so that makes it somewhat difficult. All right, having said that, if you get the 2012 USB archive, then all of those eye-opener reports are there, preserved in their full entirety. Not the preview versions, the full reports are there in the highest quality I have. At that time, I was rendering in 360p, so it's not very high quality, but it's there, and the full report is there. However, the tail end of 2011, I did file several reports for boilingfrogspost.com that are not preserved in their entirety on the 2011 USB archive. They are only the preview version. So, in order to correct that, let's dive into the Corbett Report archives and let me put one of those very important episodes of the Eye-Opener Report on the record. Specifically, I'm referring to Meet InQtel, the CIA's venture capital firm, which I posted on October 9th, 2011. And yes, although this obviously is not the most up-to-date information about InQtel, it certainly does give you some background and context for understanding the CIA's private venture capital arm that it runs and some of the shady projects and products that it's been involved with in the past. So this is an important thing to put on the record, and here is the full report in its entirety. For people who have no idea what I'm talking about with regard to the USB archives, these are the USB archives. It is strange to see a significant portion of your life's work being encapsulated in a little tray, but here we are. I just got this in from Pilato in the States. I usually have the test version that I have here in Japan, but these are the actual real finished product versions. So for example, the 2011 data archive you can purchase from newworldnextweek.com will include the preview version of this eye-opener report that we are about to take a look at, but not the full version. And this 2012 USB data archive will have all of the eye-opener reports in their full entirety, as well as the 2013 USB archive. Anyway, as you hopefully know by now, you can purchase the USB archives from newworldnextweek.com. Every single video, every interview, every article, every podcast that was posted to corbettreport.com in each given year is preserved on these archives. So I appreciate your support in helping to preserve the information and also the monetary support that is needed as well. Having said all of that, let's just get straight into it. Meet InQtel, the CIA's venture capital firm. GameScan Corporation manufactures low-power Wi-Fi semiconductors that form the heart of modern remote sensing, monitoring, and control technologies. Recorded Future Inc. is a Massachusetts web startup that monitors the web in real time and claims its media analytics search engine can be used to predict the future. Keyhole Corp. created the 3D Earth visualization technology that became the core of Google Earth. The common denominator? All of these companies, and hundreds more cutting-edge technology and software startups, have received seed money and investment funding from InQtel, the CIA's own venture capital firm. Welcome. This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report, with your eye-opener report for BoilingFrogsPost.com. For decades, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA,
has been the American governmental body tasked with conducting high-risk, high-payoff research into cutting-edge science and technology. Responsible most famously for developing the world's first operational packet switching network that eventually became the core of the internet, DARPA tends to garner headlines these days for some of its more outlandish research proposals, and is generally looked upon as a blue-sky research agency whose endeavors only occasionally bear fruit. In the post-9/11 consolidation of the American intelligence community, IARPA, or the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency, was created to serve as the spymaster's equivalent of DARPA's defense research. In contrast to this, IncuTel was formed by the CIA in 1999 as a private, not-for-profit venture capital firm with the specific task of delivering technology to America's intelligence community. Publicly, IncuTel markets itself as an innovative way to leverage the power of the private sector by identifying key emerging technologies and providing companies with the funding to bring those technologies to market. In reality, however, what IncuTel represents is a dangerous blurring of the lines between the public and private sectors, in a way that makes it difficult to tell where the American intelligence community ends and the IT sector begins. IncuTel has generated a number of headlines since its inception based on what can only be described as the creepiness factor of its investments in overtly Orwellian technologies. In 2004, KM World published an interview with Greg Pepys, then IncuTel's Senior Director of Federal and Intelligence Community Strategy, about some of their investments. Pepys was especially proud of the CIA's investment in Ingsight, a company that offered software for data mining unstructured data sources like blogs and websites with analytical processing. In 2006, it was revealed that AT&T had provided NSA eavesdroppers full access to its customers' internet traffic, and that the American intelligence community was illegally scooping up reams of internet data wholesale. The data mining equipment installed in the NSA backdoor, a Neris STA-6400, was developed by a company whose partners were funded by IncuTel. Also in 2006, News 21 reported on an IncuTel investment in CallMiner, a company developing technology for turning recorded telephone conversations into searchable databases. In late 2005, it was revealed that the NSA had been engaged in an illegal, warrantless wiretapping program since at least the time of the 9/11 attacks, monitoring the private domestic phone calls of American citizens in breach of their Fourth Amendment rights. In 2009, The Telegraph reported on IncuTel's investment in Visible Technologies, a company specializing in software that monitors what people are saying on social media websites like YouTube, Twitter, Flickr, and Amazon. The software is capable of real-time communications tracking, trend monitoring, and even sentiment analysis that categorizes blog posts and comments as positive, negative, or neutral. Just last month, the Federal Reserve tendered a request for proposal for just this type of software so the privately owned central bank could monitor what people are saying about it online. Two of the names that come up most often in connection with IncuTel, however, need no introduction: Google and Facebook. The publicly available record on the Facebook-IncuTel connection is tenuous. Facebook received $12.7 million in venture capital from Accel, whose manager, James Breyer, now sits on their board. He was formerly the chairman of the National Venture Capital Association, whose board included Gilman Louie, then the CEO of IncuTel. The connection is indirect, but the suggestion of CIA involvement with Facebook, however tangential, is disturbing in the light of Facebook's history of violating the privacy of its users.
Another black eye for Facebook. The social networking giant has reportedly revealed the sexual orientation of some users to advertisers. Researchers discovered that targeted ads are sent to accounts of people who have described themselves as gay or straight. Now, that means a person who wants to keep their private life private may be actually sharing it. And just last week, we learned some of the most popular apps on Facebook were leaking users' information to advertisers.
Do you feel like it's a backlash, or that you feel like you're violating people's privacy? Do you feel like you're adequately portrayed as a... Because they want to wonder about the person who actually created this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I a lot of stuff happened along the way. I think, there were real learning points and turning points along the way in terms of building things.
A recently released IM conversation between Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and a friend revealed the underlying attitude of Facebook towards its users. The exchange took place in 2004 when Zuckerberg had recently started the popular social networking website.
In it, he told the friend, quote, "Yeah, so if you ever need any info about anyone at Harvard, just ask. I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, SNS." To which the friend replied, "What? How do you manage that one?" And Zuckerberg responded, "People just submitted it. I don't know why. They trust me. Dumb fucks."
Google's connection to InQtel is more straightforward, if officially denied. In 2006, ex-CIA officer Robert David Steele told Homeland Security Today that Google had been taking money in direction for elements of the U.S. intelligence community, including the Office of Research and Development at the Central Intelligence Agency, InQtel, and, in all probability, both the National Security Agency and the Army's Intelligence and Security Command. Later that year, a blogger claimed that an official Google spokesman had denied the claims, but no official press statement was released. Steele's accusation is not the only suggestion of American intelligence involvement with Google, however. In 2005, InQtel sold over 5,000 shares of Google stock. The shares are widely presumed to have come from InQtel's investment in Keyhole Inc., which was subsequently bought out by Google, but this is uncertain. In 2010, it was announced that Google was working directly with the National Security Agency to secure its electronic assets. Also in 2010, Wired reported that InQtel and Google had jointly provided venture capital funding to Recorded Future Inc., a temporal analytics search engine company that analyzes tens of thousands of web sources to predict trends and events. But as potentially alarming as InQtel's connections to internet giants like Facebook and Google are, and as disturbing as its interest in data mining technologies might be, the CIA's venture capital arm is interested in more than just web traffic monitoring. The InQtel website currently lists two practice areas, information and communication technologies, and physical and biological technologies. The latter field consists of capabilities of interest, such as the on-site determination of individual human traits for intelligence community purposes, and tracking and/or authentication of both individuals and objects. InQtel also lists two areas that are on its radar when it comes to biotech: nanobioconvergence and physiological intelligence. Detailed breakdowns of each area explain that the intelligence community is interested in, amongst other things, self-assembling batteries, single-molecule detectors, targeted drug delivery platforms, and sensors that can tell where a person has been and what substances he has been handling from biomarkers like trace compounds in the breath or samples of skin.
In the years since its formation, many have been led to speculate about InQtel and its investments. But what requires no speculation is an understanding that a privately owned venture capital firm, created by and for the CIA, in which well-connected board members drawn from the private sector can then profit from the investments made with CIA funds that itself come from the taxpayer, represents an erosion of the barrier between the public and private spheres that should give even the most credulous pause for thought. What does it mean that emerging technology companies are becoming wedded to the CIA as soon as their technology shows promise? What can be the public benefit in fostering and encouraging technologies which can be deployed for spying on all internet users, including American citizens, in direct contravention of the CIA's own prohibitions against operating domestically? If new software and technology is being brought to market by companies with InQtel advisors on their boards, what faith can anyone purchasing American technologies have that their software and hardware is not designed with CIA backdoors to help the American intelligence community achieve its vision of total information awareness? Rather than scrutinizing each individual investment that InQtel makes, perhaps an institutional approach is required. At this point, the American people have to ask themselves whether they want the CIA, an agency that has participated in the overthrow of foreign, democratically elected governments, an agency that has implanted fake stories in the news media to justify American war interests, an agency that at this very moment is engaged in offensive drone strikes, killing suspected insurgents and civilians alike in numerous theaters around the world, should be entrusted with developing such close relationships with the IT sector, or whether InQtel should be scrapped for good.